Listen with me to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth follows the book of Judges because the book of Ruth is a story that occurred during the time of the judges. I haven't preached much in the book of Ruth in my life because the book of Ruth does not have a lot of truths in it, doesn't have a lot of revelation, doesn't have a lot of deep things. Generally, when the book of Ruth is preached, there is only one message. Generally, all ministers preach on one theme, and that has to do with the heart, anyway, that would tie Ruth to Naomi. That steadfastness and dedication and loyalty. Those are the words I wanted. That loyalty between Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so they bring a spiritual lesson on loyalty, which is good. But there is a truth that is missed if you don't see it typologically. And this truth, of course, was a truth that applied to Israel in their day and in every age after that. And it's a truth that applies, of course, to the church age, which is Israel today. Not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Spiritual Israel. And so, of course, we want to look at it as it applies to us in our day as the Israel of God. And so I've titled the message simply, The Message of the Book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Euphrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, meaning of the tribe of Ephraim. And they came, pardon me, I'm not sure. Put that in the middle shelf someplace or throw it over the end of the bluff. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, here's a piece of history that seems to be beside the point and maybe a little bit boring. But typologically, it's full of rich truth. Now, the story is this. Somewhere in the time of the judges, this famine befell Israel. The book of Judges makes it clear that every famine experienced during the life of God's people at the time of the judges was because of carelessness in the lives of the church that came out of the wilderness, the people of God, the elders, the priests, the prophets, the Israelites themselves as a lay body. They got careless, and when they got careless for their spiritual life, God began to take his hand of blessing off of them. And they experienced famine as well as other problems. Now, this famine reached even unto Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And typologically refers to the church, which is the house where you receive bread from heaven, the word of God. Jesus Christ as the feeder and provision of God. This occasioned at least one family to leave Israel and go to Edom, which is on the east shore of the Dead Sea. Now, although it only mentions one family leaving, we don't know how many people left, actually. But the point is, it mentions one because this family is a type of a certain people. Now, east of the Dead Sea, you know, you have Palestine, and at the bottom part of Palestine, to the east, there's the Dead Sea. The River Jordan, you have the Sea of Galilee, probably go up north of that, you got Mount Hermon, with this 9,100 feet high snow cap year-round, and a little river going down to the Sea of Galilee. And then the River Jordan snaking down with the rivers running into its tributaries until it hits the Dead Sea where it stops. And on the west of that, you've got Israel. On the east of the Dead Sea, just south of the Dead Sea, you've got Moab. The Moabites came from Esau. Just above that, just east of the sea, in the across from the lower half of the Dead Sea, was Moab. Was Edom. And Edom came from Lot and Lot's oldest daughter by an incestuous union. And the north half of the area by the Dead Sea and above, just above a ways, to the brook Jabbok, was the Ammon. The Ammonites lived, and the Ammonites came from Lot and his youngest daughter by incest. Lot, as you know, was a nephew of Abraham. Hence, Edom and Ammon, and here we're talking about Edom, that's where they went, Edom and Ammon are the result of sin, an incestuous union. The posterity of Lot, for Lot was a righteous man, backslid. They backslid. His daughters were also godly people, probably did not have what Lot had. The next generation probably didn't have what they had, but there's a carelessness that set in, and there was a backsliding. Until finally, the Moabites had backslidden from just Lot to idolatry. They became enemies of the move of work of God. Israel, of course, was on the west side of the Dead Sea and northwest. Thus, Elimelech means God is king. He took Naomi, his wife, meaning favor and pleasantness, and he took their son Mahlon, meaning joy and song, and their son Chilion, meaning ornament or perfectness, from the place of their covenant standing in Israel to Moab. That's the story we have read. Now, Moab was not Egypt. It wasn't a world of sin. It didn't typify that. But Moab was not the covenant either. It was compromise. It was not Abrahamic, but only from a nephew and his daughter who loved God but chose to live in Sodom. You see, to get the flavor here. It grew out of disobedience to God. Although the daughters did evil, that good may come of it. Lot's daughters of a godly man, godly themselves, but probably influenced by Sodom that they lived in. And Lot's righteous soul was vexed from day to day in Sodom, the scripture says, but he still chose to live there. His daughters being brought up there, probably, not brought up there, but they lived there, at a younger age than he did, probably were more affected by it than he. And because the mother was turned into a pillar of salt when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, there's a whole salt plain there from the Dead Sea, probably inundated by the fire and the salt, probably became a salt statue as the salt came down upon or inundated. But at any rate, a heap of salt. But at any rate, they sought to have children, which was the hope of every Hebrew woman. But they didn't have opportunity where they went because there was no one who was godly. And so feeling stuck, they sought in their own way to produce that which they wanted and thought they should have. But instead of waiting by faith for God to do it His own way in His own time, and to work a miracle if need be, they did evil that good may come of it. They got the father drunk because they knew it was against the law to have incest. They got him drunk on wine, gave him wine and kept giving him wine until finally he was in a place where he didn't have his ability to think properly, and then had children by him. There are a lot of Christians doing evil that good may come of it. Breaking the law of God in order to try to get ahead in the ministry, in order to try to do good, in order to get more healing, lie to the people. In order to try to get money to support your big ministry you've got out there, go into all kinds of questionable practices in money raising, blessing packs, tell them a lot of things, devise certain theologies, do things in order to keep it going, you know. I mean, there's so much rationale that you can bring as to why you should be doing something. Well, I know the scripture says, but you see, today, I mean, well, the situation we've got is you always follow the principles of the word. You never do evil that good may come. You must always do right to get right. Don't lie in a testimony to give God more glory. Don't exaggerate to make it a little more interesting. We've always got to do what's right to produce right. And here's a good lesson in that right here. The result of that was Edom, was Moab. Even as the result of selling your blessing was Edom. You see, you always lose when you don't do things God's way. You don't bring up your children in the right way. Now, this grew into a life contrary to God. It grew into an attitude against God's covenant church. It was not pure doctrine in Edom. It was not blessed of God. Now, what happened, though? We read of three deaths. Elimelech died, Mahlon died, and Chilion died. And something happened to Naomi. What does this all mean? Taking the typological meaning, we find out because there was a famine in Israel, and they did not trust God to break the famine and bring bread at the house of bread, they left, went to a place that was a place where they had compromised and fallen until they were people that were against the move of God. And what happened when they did that? God is king died there. Joy and song died there. Ornaments of perfection died there. And pleasantness and sweetness and favor of God was turned to bitterness of soul. That was Naomi. This proof is in verses 20 and 21. When she went back, they said, "Is this Naomi?" Verse 20. And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi. Call me not blessed, a pleasantness and favor with God. Call me Merah. Call me bitterness. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full." I was full because I'd been in Bethlehem, the house of bread. "And I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." You know, I know testimonies of people that have gone out of here full and have come back empty. They hobnobbed with Moab out there someplace, or other cases with Edom or whatever. "Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" For the judgment of God. Now, some people have strayed from the move of God here at the chapel. And I'm not trying to imply that this is the only place where there's a move of God. This is one place of the house of bread. This is the Bethlehem in Judah. There's other places in Judah besides Bethlehem. But God called them Hill, and they had joy in the spirit Hill. But like the daughters of Lot, they did not have enough faith in God to bless them as they would keep the rules of God. And they wanted, in some cases, they wanted to have a husband, even though the rule said, no, not now, not this one, you're not ready, test it out. But because they were not ready to follow and be submissive, as the scriptures teach, they broke and went out. And if you see the end of some of those marriages and lives, you find out that many unhappy things happened. And many of them ended up in Moab. And they've lost the spirit of the Lord. They lost the blessing. It's happened to a lot of people, not just in that case, but that's just one example. Now, in leaving Bethlehem, the house of bread, God's word and the staff of life, they sought bread. That's what they went for. They felt they could find more bread someplace else than where God had ordained it. So going out to find bread, they found graves. I know people who've left here to find bread and ended up in graves. Backslid completely. Now, I'm not teaching that if you go here out with the right spirit someplace for a good cause, you're going to backslide. People have accused us of that, but we've never said that. We've only taught that people, when God has called you to a place and you rebel and you're not submissive and you refuse, you got problems inside and you leave of that condition, you're out of the will of God and you usually backslide. That's what we have said. And history has proven that to be true over and over again. And then people turn that around to say, oh, they believe they're the only people in the whole world, and if you leave community chapel, everybody's going to backslide because they're the only ones who've got salvation. That is not what we teach and never have taught. Now, what was the result of the backsliding? Joy and Song married a Moabitish wife. What happened when the praise and song joined a Moabitish wife who had compromised with the world, although they came from the nephew of Abraham? Well, pardon me for saying so, but they had rock music. They did not get pure spiritual music. They got soul music. They got flesh music. They got dead religion. They didn't keep a pure spiritual religion. Ornaments of Perfection married a Moabitish wife too. And in other words, he was joined to sin. The Ornaments of Perfection was joined to sin, which was a forbidden union. They were not allowed to marry into Moab. And they became lukewarm. Became dry. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, because her sons now were dead, and her husband was dead. So Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law, whom they had married, who were Moabites, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Back in the God's church, in the house of bread, the famine was over. Revival had come. God had set bread again. Christ came back in a living truth of revelation in God's word by the Spirit. And people were applying it to their lives and it was setting them free. Now she no longer had God is King as a covenant husband. So Naomi set to return with her daughters-in-law. Joy and song and beautiful ornaments of God's grace and perfection in Christ were dead. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. I want you to know that their intention was to go to Judah, to go back to where God had called them in the first place, get back to that spiritual life and training and calling and teaching and preparation for last day ministry as God wants all of them to be and grow up and mature in Him and build a family of God for Him. They all headed back with that intention in mind. It says it very clearly here. All right, verse 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. Now, that didn't mean she just loved her, so she kissed her. It means she kissed her goodbye. But Ruth clave unto her. She the antithesis, but. And the next verse makes it even clearer. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. The mother said, your sister has gone back. She went part way. But she only went a short distance back. And something had begun to entice her to draw her back again. Something had happened to her in Moab that made her, that had a hook in her. And she wept. There was tears. She hated to lose them. She had intended to go back. She felt good about Bethlehem by going there. But like the rich man that came to Jesus and went away sorrowful, she was not willing to pay the price. Was not willing to pay the price. Maybe there was a handsome Moabitish man back there that might have been looking her way or something. But she went back to her own country. It seemed too difficult to go into another land. She was a Moabitish girl. She'd never been there before. That move and place in the spirit was a little uncomfortable. You know, I know ministers that came out of denominational churches, got saved, and churches where there was no salvation, and they got saved, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and some gifts of the Spirit and got really excited, and then they got cold feet. And I've had several of them, at least three, come to me and ask for advice because they were worried about what the diocese might say and the congregation might say and the church may be splitting up. And I'd always give them all the same answer. Say, Brother, God hasn't called you to hold together so many of that denomination. He has called you to live up to all the light you have and to preach the light and the truth. And what will happen will be God's will. And you'll have some blessed subtractions. And if they throw you out, you'll be able to have a congregation of people. You'll move in to the people that can be behind the move of the Spirit. And if those that don't like it, let them leave. Tell them to get out if they don't like it. So you can have the freedom of the Spirit. And let others who do want it, of your denomination, hey, down there, they got a move of the Spirit, and we're not just tolerated, we're accepted, and let them come down, and you'll build a powerhouse group. You'll build something. But most of them, their feet were too cold, and they turned back. Some of them even denying the Holy Spirit, eventually, in order to hold a group of people that were already dead. They went back to Moab again. Now, Ruth clave to the widowed Christian, Naomi, and returned. Verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. When where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, here, Ruth, who is a Gentile, a Moabite, seeks God. She's coming in to salvation. She is saying, your God will be my God. I've had other gods in my life. I was in spiritual idolatry. I had a lot of other things, the Hollywood stars and rock music and a few other things were my gods. But I now give them up, and your God, singular, will be my God. And I'll go where you go, leading me to the right way. And so this person who had known God, Naomi, was now leading her into the worship of God. And then in verse 22, so Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. I only read that verse because of the one word, barley harvest. Barley harvest, those of you who know the typology of Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles knows that barley harvest was the harvest at the time of the Passover. It speaks of salvation, coming into the harvest of souls in salvation, the work of Calvary. Chapter 2, in verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. Now, get that. Naomi, who was the mother of Hill, whose husband had died, and the two sons had died, she had a kinsman living in Judah. And he was of her husband's relationship. And he was a wealthy man. And see, he was of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now here she was going to follow Boaz in Boaz's field to glean. She was only going to glean. She couldn't really harvest thick and fast. Now, from Israel, came Boaz, which means in it is strength. Because Boaz is the type of Christ, and in it was strength. In this that was Logos made flesh, in this flesh was strength, was God, and was commitment in, as man to God. This was Naomi's kinsman redeemer. Now notice, he was a kinsman. He was a man. He was the perfect man. And that perfect man-child. He was a near kin. He was a kinsman. A man who's a kin. Jesus was born under the law, made of a woman, called his brethren. He was a kin to us. He was Adam, a near kin. He came to redeem. The kinsman was to redeem her. And he was a wealthy man, many riches in his life spiritually and in glory. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace, finding grace in his sight. And she said unto her, go, my daughter, this is good. You go and follow Boaz. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. See, the reapers came and were reaping, and she gleaned behind. She did not have the ability yet to go in and to really win souls like the rest in the harvest field. But as they reaped with the scythes, those short sickles, like, she gleaned what was left over. And her hap, that is her chance, was to light upon a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. That was how it happened to turn out, but it was probably God's providence. A lot of us have happed to fall into a work of God, you know, here at the chapel or someplace where you find God for your life and get saved. You happed into some place. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. You see, he is the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to him as the Son of God. The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers, you notice there was some over others? He asked the pastor. He was set over the reapers. Whose daughter is this? And he said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, I beg you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even now from the morning until now. She was faithful as the day progressed, that she tarried a little in the house. After the day was over, the long harvest was over, she tarried a little in his house, in the house of Christ. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not my daughter? Did you notice him calling her his daughter? Because we not the daughters, don't you know, the daughters of Jesus Christ? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He said, now you stay with my maidens here. Let my other daughters teach you. Don't go into another field where I am not. There's a lot of fields out there, and I'm not in all those fields, but I'm in this field. Stay in the full gospel move. Stay in where God is moving, in this field where I am. Verse 10. Then she fell on her face. And bowed herself to the ground. See, she bowed before him. And said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. You know, many of us have felt that way. Lord, how come you saved me? I was a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. I wasn't a part of the move of God. As Dennis Bennett said, I was a frozen Episcopalian. I was a hippie. I was an atheist, but you saved me. Many of you can say amen to that. Verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She's now come under the wings of the church, the spiritual Israel of God. She isn't on her own. She's a little chick. So the mother hen is over her, the church. And she's under the wings of the church that she might be protected. There's owls out there in case you don't know it. Verse 13. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. And he's the comforter. And for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, even though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. I'm not like those of you who minister in music ministry and anointing of the Holy Ghost and sing so beautifully in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and prophesy and do these things. But you've been gracious unto me and brought me in so I can follow the reapers and glean. Verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Now, don't you reproach her. She came in, you know, she came in and she was a hippie and she did this and she did that and so forth. But she was whatever, you know, I hate to say too many church names, but don't you reproach her for that. She's come under the wings of Israel now. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. He says, now, she is not going to be, you know, you people are pretty good at going through and not missing any souls. And so you're going through taking all this wheat, this corn of wheat. Actually, it makes it sound like it's what we call corn, but it's actually corn of wheat. It's actually wheat in the Old Testament. Every time the place says corn, it's really wheat. But as you glean, he said, purposely miss some. Purposely leave some that she may be able, in other words, help her win a few souls. Help her. Make it easy for her to move in and know how to deal in this ministry of soul winning. Purposely back up a little bit and don't give all the messages. Let her give some of them. Let her move in to this realm a little bit. Purposely hold back, give deference that she might have a part in this, in her young conversion. Verse 21. And Ruth the Moabiter said, He said unto me also, now she's talking to Naomi, saying what Boaz said, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Now my young men, he said, those young men, they've overcome the wicked one. They're not babes any longer. They're strong. They're working in the harvest field. as ministers of God. You stay by them. You learn from these ministers, my young men. Because you won't be able to be by me all the time, but you learn from those under me, my young men. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean into the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. Now she comes into Pentecost and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She kept into the harvest and worked into the next harvest, now into Pentecost. It was only 50 days after the wheat harvest. Even as they came to Mount Sinai, 50 days after Passover, leaving Egypt, and they came to where the church was born, and God's presence on Mount Sinai, and so forth. And even 50 days after Christ was the Passover lamb on Calvary, 50 days later, Pentecost came, Pente meaning 50, and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost at the start of the church age. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that I may be well with thee? In other words, you have the Holy Ghost, but now you need an experiential rest coming from a life with a kinsman redeemer. That's what she was saying. Shall I not seek rest? She meant a husband. Because that's what rest is in a husband. He, come unto me, all ye weary and labor, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so she calls it, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it might be well with thee? I don't think it's by accident that the Holy Spirit put some of these key words in here, rest and rest. He could say husband, but he's tying in things to give you revelation and put things together. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Verse 7. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and he behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now what happened here was this. This man was wealthy. But there's a different age in what we live in today. It was a warm country. They were pastoral people. And after working out and overseeing the harvest field, overseeing the workers, he just lay down in a sheltered place there, on the ground with his robe under him, his warm country. He lay down there. They had the second coat on. They had the second coat because it's nice to get a little chilly sometimes. And they lay down, and it was common for them to sleep like this. And this damsel had no husband. Her husband was dead. She had no, and she came. She was working under Boaz. She knew he was the leader. She came into this place, and she lay down right by his feet. And about midnight, he stood enough, and it kind of scared him at first. And he looked, and here was this Ruth. And she asked him to take that outward coat, she calls the skirt here, of his robe. And she said, lay it across over me. Now, she wasn't really saying, I'm chilly. What she was saying is, you are a near kinsman. And there was a law of Moses that I've learned about since I've come to be with Naomi. She's witness to me. And I'm asking you to redeem me, to be my redeemer and my protection, because I am a woman and I need protection of a man. I need a man to protect my life. I need a man to be under. Would you put your skirt over me and say, I will take you in under the kinsman law for protection? Now that, you know, oftentimes, of course, as you realize, means that protect him as a husband. Now, in verse 12, we read, "And now it is true," he says, "that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is the kinsman nearer than I." Now he explains one of the reasons possibly why he did not take her to wife before, because he was not the nearest kinsman. He said, "There is a kinsman nearer than me. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, according to the law, well." That means, in other words, he will be your husband. "Let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do to thee a part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth." I make a solemn promise. "Lie down until the morning." Now, and she laid his feet until the morning. Now, you see, in that country, they took wives, you know, by contract and so forth, as you understand. And there was a law of Moses that stated that when a woman lost her husband, that her brother, who was unmarried, would take her to be wife. That was lawful. He didn't have to, but he could do that. It was lawful. So that the seed of the father might continue and not be broken to another line. And if that was not possible, and there was no brother, then the nearest kin to them, married, unmarried man, could take her to be his wife, that they might at least keep the genealogy going in the family. And he said, the law would say that there's another one that has preference before me. So you let that one, see if that one wants you. And if he doesn't, I'll take you. But I have to be next in line. I'm willing to take you, but this one has to be first. Now, who was that nearer kinsman than Christ to Ruth? That nearer kinsman was the law. But since the law would not protect her, Christ would. His grace would. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. And he said unto him, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down." Now see, he was doing the commanding. Christ told the law to sit down here. I'm going to talk to you. "And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, for witnesses and men of authority. And he said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down." See, he was in a certain position, authority. "And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. She's an heir to some land that Elimelech had, but he died over in Moab. So she sells a portion of it, because now it did not pass to his sons are dead, so now it passes to his sons' wives. And so she has half of it. So she sells this land. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, as a witness, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it." In other words, if you can buy this land and redeem it, it will stay in the family. And you redeem it by being her husband, because she owns the land. You buy this, you redeem it by being her husband, so it will stay among the family of Israel, among that same tribe. "But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." I am the next one, because I am also, and he said, "I will redeem it." The law says, "I will redeem it. I will." The law will be a husband unto her. That's what happened to Israel. The law was a husband to her. "Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. You must also be her husband of Ruth, and raise up from the dead brother, according to the law, seed by her to continue." You don't just redeem the land, you have to also have her as a wife, and you have to continue the seed. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. I have got to be the law. I cannot show grace. I've got to keep the law. I cannot take a Moabitish person in and break the law. I've got to keep, I can't mar my inheritance. I cannot take her. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. The law cannot redeem us. It can only accuse us. We can only be guilty by it. It cannot redeem us and make us free. Verse 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Israel's, and all that was Chilion's, all the praise and the music, and Mahlon's, all that of beautiful ornaments, and of the hand of Naomi, all that which is blessed of the Lord. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Now notice he called her daughter. Has he not come to marry his daughters and take them to be his wife? I have purchased to be my wife. He's purchased you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You've been bought with a price, because he is our kinsman redeemer. He's redeemed you to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place, ye are witnesses this day. Now the act of a man throwing his cloak over a woman was an intimate enough reflection to indicate, figuratively, I am putting you under my covering. Putting my covering over you. You are now in my bed as my wife. You are now with me as one with me. One coat covers us both as now one. And that's what it signified, as a protector. We come under here. Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long, how oft would I have gathered you under my coat, my covering, my wings, as a hen doth her brood, to protect them, but you would not. Verse 12. Pardon me, let me be sure here now. I'll be through here in a moment. I think I'm through here with those reading right now. Now, Boaz was senior in years to Ruth. Christ came before the daughters. Boaz called her daughter, verse 11, but Boaz married her. Ruth loved Boaz. You know why? For he first loved her. He showed her kindness in the field and gave her. He first loved her. So she fell in love with him for being so kind to her. Took her in. An alien from the commonwealth of Israel. A stranger. A Moabites. One who had not lived for God. One who was against God. But now came in. And she lay at his feet. That's what we do. We look at his feet. We cannot... You know, we must humble ourselves. I mean, his very latches of his shoes were unworthy to stoop and loose. We lay at his feet. And she asked for protection of his covering and of his life, his whole life, that his life might be our covering. His husbandman might be our covering. That's our covering, is to have him as our husband, our life. We have an advocate with the Father when we sin. We have an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. We get a coat that covers us, and that's Jesus. His robe of righteousness is cast about us, covering us. And what does she do? She ends up sharing his wealth and love. Isn't that not what we are going to do? End up sharing his wealth and his love. Maybe even now have a foretaste of the inheritance to come. And she makes him happy and contented. And that's the whole plan of God for human race, for Adam, is to make him happy and contented. By having those that love him, that he can love. And then she will be happy to be loved of him, and then we love him also because of he loves us. Now the law forbid a Moabitess or an Ammonite from entering into the assembly of God, into the congregation of Israel. But the law released Ruth to Christ, who took her in. You see, Mount Sinai thunders, the soul that sinneth shall die. The law. But Mount Calvary answers back from its bloody slopes, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto judgment, not under the law, for there's a mercy seat that covers the scroll, the law in within. But is passed from death in bondage to the law it could not keep, unto life in the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ." That is the message of the book of Ruth. And we are Ruthites. Not ruthless Ruthites, but Ruthites. Praise God, we have found the greater Boaz.